Our schedule is a bit erratic right now, but the best way to find out when we're dropping new episodes of No Longer Neighbors is to follow us on Twitter. Our handle is NLN Podcast. That's NLN Podcast on Twitter. You can also interact with us that way. It would be great to find out what you want to hear about on upcoming episodes.
Woo! Yeah, No Longer Neighbors, hosted by Chris and Aaron. Used to live next door, Dallas, Texas, representing. But then Aaron moved away. Yeah, that's the situation. So join the podcast, get in on the conversation. Yeah, authentic, real friends, I admit it. Still keeping the connection, it don't matter about the distance. You don't have to wait up, I'ma tell you straight up. Entertaining for sure, this is No Longer Neighbors, yeah.
Back on No Longer Neighbors, Chris Mikoski and Aaron Arruda. Aaron, I think we can both agree, if nothing else, that the mute button was the MVP of last night's presidential debate.
Yeah, I would say the mute button first and then the moderator. Both of them worked out better than I would have thought.
Yeah.
That a change in moderator but you know, the mute button, it's getting a lot of credit. I will say that it's partially unfair though, because you could tell from the beginning of the debate that Trump had been coached and Biden had been coached, right? That the reaction from the nation was not positive for either of them after how childish the first debate was. And so even if there hadn't have been, you know, mic muting, I think this was going to be a better debate than last time. But absolutely, I think that we should have mic muting on all debates going forward.
I guess it's one of those things where we'll never know for sure.
Sure, of course.
How much impact the mute button had, because certainly no matter how much President Trump wanted potentially to interrupt, if he did, he'd be doing it and only be picked up by the other microphones, and that just would have looked really, sure, really bad. So he knew the mute button, I better stay with that. Otherwise, I'm just going to look like a screaming, I don't know what. But, you know, he was definitely softer in tone. About halfway through, he kind of took it up a notch. Yeah. And kind of got back a little bit more to, you know, we had some mocking bits later on, trying to do a bad impression of Joe Biden at one point. But yeah, Kristen Welker was fantastic. And
great job.
The President Trump, and doing this in the face of President Trump bashing her a bit leading up to the debate, and then, you know, kind of being warm and fuzzy with her during the debate, saying, you're doing a fantastic job. I really appreciate what you're doing. And I appreciate the question. All that kind of stuff. But, you know, he laid the groundwork a little bit just in case she was really, really tough on him. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, because she's biased and, you know, of course it wasn't going to be a fair debate, but ended up being great. Ended up, she was absolutely fantastic.
I think overall, his demeanor was, you know, obviously much more presidential than the first debate, mm-hmm. but just more in line with what we've seen with other debates in the past from, you know, general candidates. And I don't think the American people really mind when things get a little bit feisty during the debates. Some of sure. these topics are heated. I think it's when it's kind of blatantly disrespectful, and that when, you know, you interrupt and you can't have some basic decorum is when it really goes off the rails. And that's what we saw in the first debate. So I was glad to see that wasn't the case here.
Yeah. And, you know, there were things on both sides that bothered me. And ultimately sure. I'm not, you know, and I think this is a full blown discussion we could have on how much these debates are going to impact anybody. Did they change a single mind? And really, more importantly, I guess, for both sides, even if they didn't change mind, did they energize somebody to go to the polls who otherwise was going to stay home? I'm not sure about either of those things, but I've already voted. I voted early last week, so this didn't matter to me. I watched simply for the theater of it and because I knew we were going to talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about COVID, obviously, in a big portion of it. And I do agree a little bit with the idea of you just can't close up. It's kind of, you can take it from both sides, though. You can't close up the country, can't shut down the economy altogether. But on the other hand, you know, if Biden's talking about a potential mask mandate and thinks everybody should wear them all the time out in public, you put those two things together and you don't have to shut down the economy as much. Sure. I think you can take from both sides on that. And so many, obviously, of the greatest things that happen in this country when you take a little bit from both sides. And in that case, if more people were wearing wear masks everywhere, I feel a great freedom that I can go to more places, that I don't have to stay shut in if I wear my mask.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a point that a lot of people are making. I don't think anyone really, I mean, or a very fringe group of people wants to see the country still shut down or shut down forever. But we are seeing a resurgence in COVID cases. And last Friday, it was the highest number that we had seen since July. Yesterday, again, I saw a story that we were again setting records since July. And so, you know, we're going into the winter. People have had different amounts of speculation on what's going to happen, but it's surely going to get very confusing when we have a normal flu season and cold season like we normally do, and people are having fevers, and everybody's just going to have to be much more cautious with COVID, right? And so what is the problem with wearing a mask? We've talked about this, or being more cautious so we can continue our lives. I just don't get it. I think we need a balance, and I hope Americans see that. And unfortunately, I don't know if either presidential candidate did perfect, but if I were to go with the strategy of one or the other, I think that you know, Biden at least seemed open to keeping the country open with more precautions, where President Trump has talked a good game sometimes, and then, you know, 2 minutes later, out of the other side of his mouth is saying something totally different. Wear masks, don't wear a mask. Listen to Fauci, don't listen to Fauci. I listen to science, I don't listen. You know, it's just, you can't get a coherent answer sometimes.
Yeah, and we're rounding the corner, it's going away on when you talk about that the numbers are as high as they are and the resurgence is going on. And, you know, you get a little later in the debate and you start hearing some of the conspiracy theories, I guess, that are being thrown out about, you know, the wealth that Biden has put together, and saying that he received $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow. And where did he get that money? And he's had a long career. He's had really solid book deals. He's been charging speaking fees. You know, there's plenty of ways he could have earned that money legitimately, but obviously none of those will be mentioned by the Republican side.
I get the discussion on if Joe Biden was involved in corrupt dealings. I think that's somewhat fair game. But the children thing, it just is exhausting to me. Yeah. I mean, do we want to investigate everything that Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. have done in their life?
And Jared Kushner and, yeah, everybody in that Ivanka family.
And all of them, right? There's endless amounts. And you have Donald Trump Jr. tweeting out things like, oh, Joe Biden owns this house, it's worth millions of dollars, when in reality he bought it, you know, and sold it, what was it, 10 or 15 years ago. Just ridiculous things.
The facts don't matter. It's something to rile up the base, and you know, and the people who are going to vote on the other side just roll their eyes, and they're trying to energize people. You know, one point in the positive for Trump, and obviously, you know, Biden countered with a fairly decent point, was I was on the side about 4 years ago that I thought for sure we would be going to war with North Korea in some form or fashion. And the fact that that hasn't happened is obviously fantastic and wonderful. And, you know, and to try to be friends with a leader of an unstable leader of that regime, you know, you don't want to cozy up too much, but at the same time, to avoid war is always a good thing. So,
Yeah, it's a tough one. And, you know, look, we've been critical of President Trump. If Joe Biden becomes president, probably be critical of him too, right? Both of us have said we're kind of in the middle on a lot of these things.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyone who says President Trump has not done some good things is just entirely partisan, right? Yeah. Every president, though, let me say, has done some good things. Unfortunately for President Trump, his mouth and his demeanor and his vitriol has overshadowed
right. The
good things that he has done to where people don't even want to talk about it or give him any credit because he is such a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost like nothing we've ever seen before. People didn't love President Obama or Bush, but President Trump is a whole new level of, you know, just kind of hatred. And some of it is well-deserved.
Well, yeah, and it's the consistent things that he has to be fact check on. And Daniel Dale is one of my favorite people on TV now, the fact checker for CNN. And I was trying to watch the debate primarily just with my own eyes without any outside influence, but I did keep a live fact checking site up on my computer during the debate. And Dale had a quote that from a lying perspective, Trump is even worse tonight than in the first debate. Mm. So there's a long list to go through on that, and I won't do that. But you know, one of the big facts that really bothered me, and you know, this is coming from the least racist person in the room last night, is that only the people who crossed the border, who were brought in, only those with the lowest IQ will show up to their court hearings. 1%, I think, is what he said. And PolitiFact checked that. And actually, between 60 and 75% of people attend their immigration court hearings. So that's a big discrepancy to what was said last night. And you know, then you get a little bit later and, you know, nobody has done more for the black population than Donald Trump, with a possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. And again, I think I asked you this on a previous episode after a debate. Has Donald Trump ever heard of LBJ?
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I said this before in the comments. I don't even know what to say here. Once again, to be fair, he's done some good things. There were some reforms that were worked on that were pushed through, criminal justice reforms, which he championed and worked with some folks, even Van Jones of CNN. So there are some positives on the Trump record on race, but they are overshadowed by many other things, especially comments that just, you know, make his record look horrible.
Well, a lot of the gains in that sense were, I think, circumstantial to gains that happened throughout the populace.
Sure.
But he can take that number and say that it benefited this.
Absolutely.
Benefited this group of people, and it wasn't necessarily meant to. My final Daniel Dale quote, okay? Biden was imperfect, a few false or misleading claims, but Trump, as usual, was a serial liar. And that's Daniel Dale again. And I think ultimately, and I've actually had this discussion with family members who are kind of in the same boat on, you know, they see some of the good. They don't like the way that President Trump, his demeanor, the way he represents the country. But there are the issues of abortion and issues of judges that may keep them from voting for a Democrat. That said, if Amy Coney Barrett gets the nomination, is pushed through and becomes a Supreme Court justice, the court is significantly stacked. And in that sense, even if the Democrats do win everything this election, then barring court packing, the Supreme Court will be conservative for probably the rest of our lives. 6'3" edge.
You know, what does that actually mean, conservative, too? I think it's interesting because all of these judges have taken an oath to uphold the law, right? They all view it in different ways. But we've seen some judgments lately where the, quote, conservatives on the court, whether that be, you know, Justice Roberts or whether it be some of the newer folks like Justice Gorsuch, vote with the, quote, liberal side of the court, right? So
sure.
I think some of the fears there, in my opinion, are a little bit overdone. I think that all of these judges do their best to interpret the law, and of course they will disagree. They have different backgrounds. That's the whole point of having a panel. But it, you know, yes, it will lean conservative likely once her nomination goes through, which I'm convinced it will.
Yeah.
You know, you saw yesterday it's going for a vote. The Democrats didn't show up to the hearing in protest, but that really has little effect on the long term, and they know that, which is that she's going to get confirmed. She has the credentials to get confirmed. I think, you know, you're absolutely fair to criticize people for their answers, their record. It's part of any job interview, never mind a lifetime appointment.
Right.
However, I did think in the bits that I watched and read that some of the criticisms of her are ridiculous. I don't think that people's religious views should really be on the table. I don't think that she should be, you know, criticized for being a mother of eight, I think it is, who has, you know, conservative values and has decided to raise her family in that way or go to a church that has conservative values. I mean, it's just kind of a ridiculous notion that someone is unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice because, you know, they're Catholic. I think right. those kind of things are very dangerous. And, you know, I'm sure people would like to see some more diversity on the court in terms of religion. Apparently, a large majority of the justices now come from a Catholic tradition. And I think that's a fair thing to a certain extent. But certainly someone's religion shouldn't disqualify them.
I agree. And yeah, it's a slam dunk. It's done. You know, I've been on record in talking about how I don't appreciate the I guess the change in attitude on whether or not a judge should be pushed through in the final year of a term. And obviously, you know, we saw people change their attitude based on 4 years ago and now, but at the same time, Barrett is every, I'm with you on, you know, some of the criticisms were unfair, but also I would have liked to see her answer a few more questions and not be as dodgy on some of the questions that came through to her. Just answer. Don't try to step away from it. But incredibly qualified, she should be confirmed, and that will be a major point. And if it gets done, I do wonder if it gets done before November 3rd, if it's all wrapped up, which it appears it will be, how that changes people's votes potentially. I think President Trump has, you know, considering the conversations I've had, I don't know if he's really considering that idea that, okay, if we've got talking for lifelong Republicans, we've got this judge, we've got the majority for a long time, we're okay with Biden being president because, you know, it's not going to affect the judges.
Yeah.
So it might backfire is all I'm saying, getting her confirmed before November 3rd. Now, Aaron is a technology guy working in the cell phone industry, and it is a big day for people like him and all people who are on the other team from me. I'm Team Galaxy, Team Android, people who love iPhones.
Yeah.
Including my wife. And I know you're neutral. You will work with everything, but there is a special place in your heart when a new release comes out.
Well, I mean, I've worked in, you know, technology for different carriers for a long time. And this is one of the biggest days of the year, if not the biggest day of the year, because iPhones sell so well, especially in the United States. So I enjoy all technology, but I appreciate what Apple has done in the market. It's obviously unprecedented. And so today's a big day, iPhone 12 release day. I'm going to try to run through this really quick for the sake of time and not to bore people who don't care about it. Basically, there were four new models that were announced last week. And that's the iPhone 12, the iPhone 12 mini, the iPhone 12 Pro, and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. So the important thing to know here is that the mini is now a new model for those people who have said for years that they want a smaller iPhone since iPhones started to get bigger. Now that's
going
that,
back to the size of a previous model from back in the day.
It's kind of a size. It's actually even a little bit smaller than like an iPhone 7, but okay. It's all screen. So the screen is much bigger. So you're getting a bigger screen in a smaller package. The iPhone 12 is the same size as the iPhone 11 in terms of screen size. However, they've shrunk the body down, so it's thinner, lighter. It's going to feel more compact. The iPhone 12 Pro, they've actually increased the screen size from the iPhone 11 Pro to where now the regular, if you will, iPhone 12 and the Pro iPhone 12 are the same size. So you just pick, do you want the Pro or do you want the regular, but they're the same screen size. And then you have the Max. And the Max is a little bit larger this year in terms of screen size, but they've also shrunk in the body to where it's around the same size in your hand. So essentially, you got four phones. The ones that come out today are actually just the main sizes or the regular sized ones. So if you want the small iPhone mini, or if you want the Max, you're going to have to wait until early November. There's pre-orders coming up. I think it's November 6th, and then a week later they launch. So that's...
Depending on the manufacturer, or is that across the board?
What do you mean?
Excuse me, the carrier.
No, it's across the board. Across the board of all carriers, yeah. So those are the four sizes. The difference is, people always ask me, well, should I go for the regular or should I go for the Pro? This year, there's a smaller amount of differences than ever before. So really what you're getting, the main thing you're getting by going with a Pro is an extra camera. So you get a third camera on the Pro model, which they call the telephoto. That is the one that zooms in the most. So if you really like close-ups, that might be a reason for you to go with the Pro. Also, an odd thing is that the cameras on the Pro Max that hasn't come out yet are actually a little better this year than even the regular Pro. So they're delineating because they have a larger size, and so they can put a larger sensor in that larger phone. So if you want the best camera experience, you need to wait for the Max.
Gotcha. That was originally, however many years ago, the biggest reason that I switched over to a Galaxy was because at that point the camera was significantly better. So now that it's even, I don't think I'm switching back. I think I'm kind of Galaxy for life now. But at the same time, I mean, that was they're making the improvements they needed to make because they lost people like me because of the camera differences.
Sure. Yeah, and Apple's made huge strides. Their strong point has always been video. And they did some cool things with HDR and Dolby Vision in this one as well. I won't get into the really nerdy stuff, but there's some really cool stuff for video. The other differences are maybe a little bit more RAM in the Pro models. Apple doesn't really discuss that, but it's been speculated. The display is actually mostly the same, but slightly brighter in certain circumstances on the Pro models, and then stainless steel sides, which is really just more of a cosmetic feature. You get stainless steel sides on the Pro versus aluminum on the regular. But the big thing here to know is in previous years, you were getting kind of two things. You were getting a camera and you were getting a better display with going with the Pro model. This year, there's very little difference in the display. They've upgraded the regular iPhone 12 to OLED technology, and they've also made it much more of a high-resolution pixel-dense screen. So really, for most people, the main thing you're getting out of upgrading to the Pro is a better camera. There's not a lot of difference.
When on the iPhone or whatever phone you're using, hopefully you're going to be upgrading to 5G, although a lot of people don't quite understand what it means. There are plenty of conspiracy theorists out there. Well, hopefully not plenty, but there are a handful that think that 5G is out to kill us. But yeah. I think people have thought that about new technologies for hundreds of years.
I'll try to make this really short because this is a really long discussion, but essentially the easiest way of saying it is that there's two technologies for 5G. There's not just one. So one of them is called 5G sub 6, and the other one is called 5G millimeter wave. You're going to hear different terms for both sub 6 and millimeter wave, which are marketing terms. So millimeter wave is called ultra wideband on Verizon. It's called 5G plus on AT&T. That is still growing out, and it's very sparse. It's mostly only in downtown areas of big cities, and it covers a few square blocks. That will grow over time. That's the 5G that people are afraid of because it uses a lot of antennas to give you kind of like a Wi-Fi type experience, but it doesn't scale very easily without being very expensive. So the more broad kind of 5G that's across all of the major carriers now is called sub 6 or sub 6 gigahertz. That's going to deliver speeds that are a little bit faster than 4G and sometimes several times faster depending on conditions. It's also going to allow more users to be on a tower at one time, which is a good thing. And so you're going to see kind of mass 5G for the first time with people getting these iPhones. It's been out on Samsung phones for a while, but with iPhone adoption, you're going to see 5G discussion. So just know there's two types of 5G, and your experience might vary greatly based on what type you're on.
Gotcha. All right. Final thing, quick workaround sports and time riot wise, we'll get into what you're into next time. But for now, Rays and Dodgers tied one game apiece. You have a prediction for how this thing's going to end? And have you watched a second of the World Series yet?
I didn't know until right now who was in the World Series, so no.
It's happening right down the street from us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy that we're getting some, patronage to Texas, but I have no idea what's going on.
Okay. What are you watching sports-wise, if anything? I've got a high school game tonight. Will I have golf. You as a viewer?
That's about it.
No high school football tonight.
No.
Golf. Ah, come on.
I mean,
if you were on TV, I'd watch you.
I'd watch some can you put a highlight reel of just you together, and then I'll watch that to make you feel better, but I'm not actually going to watch the high school football.
Man. If you're listening to us on Friday, you can watch that pregame at 7, kickoff at 7:30, Rockwall versus Rockwall Heath, the I-30 Classic. It's the CW33 High School Football Showdown. If you're outside of DFW, you can stream it on CW33.com. Aaron will not be watching. I hope you will be. But we'll talk more about sparkling water and LaCroix next time. So people have that to look forward to. But for now, be sure to subscribe. We are very much intermittent at this point. We have no set schedule. I'm starting a new 9-to-5 next week. Aaron will have his new 7-figure job lined up by middle of next week, probably. So our schedules get a little bit busier. But whenever we get to do this, it's always good to chat. I know we started this originally because we weren't seeing anybody.
Yeah,
it was the start of quarantine, and neither of us were getting out into the world. Now we are a little bit, but still good to do this every once in a while.
All right, everyone, have a good week.